Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning and we're thankful, Lord, for this place you've given us and for the opportunity we have together. I pray you'll be with us now, Lord God, as we approach this part of the service, bringing forth the word. I ask, dear God, that may Father, though, that you would speak in a way, Lord, to touch the hearts of the individuals this morning, God. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I want to read from the start at the 25th verse, Colossians chapter 1. Whereof I am a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You may be seated. What I want to speak on this morning is the hope of glory. The hope of glory, which is Christ in you. That's what the hope of glory is, Christ in you. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We've got just a couple more scriptures to read here to set in a good foundation. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, which henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, shewest the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto the Father. So we see here in the ministry of Jesus Christ while he was on the earth, it was the Father in him, is what is Jesus is saying here. He said, the works I do, they're not my works, they're the Father's works. He doeth the works, he's in me, and I am in him. Then he goes on to say, he that believeth on me will do the same works that I do. And how would we be able to do the same works that Jesus did? If Christ is in you, then you can do the same works that he did. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That ain't just, try every spirit, not just the preacher's spirits, people too. Try every spirit to see if it's of God or not. If you'll watch and wait, it'll prove out what spirit is of. Because why? It'll do the works of that Spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Now, that's a present tense. John here is speaking many years after the crucifixion. So he's not speaking of Jesus Christ in the flesh that he walked in and ministered in for 3.5 years. He's not speaking of that flesh. If he was speaking of that flesh, he would have said, had come in the flesh. But he said, is come in the flesh, which actually seems like a misuse of words in a sentence. But he's speaking of a present tense. In other words, this is eternal. And you realize this, that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive eternal life. It's eternal. So eternally, Christ in you. Jesus is come in the flesh. Is of God. Everyone that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. We'll say, how could that happen? When somebody looks at you or someone who's filled with the Holy Ghost and says, that's not of God. That ain't, they may not come out and say the very words of that's not Jesus in the flesh, but their actions and the way their disrespect for it will show they don't believe that that's Jesus. They don't believe that's Jesus in the person. They don't believe that's Jesus in the person that's worshiping. They don't believe it's Jesus in the person that's testifying. They don't believe it's Jesus in the person. Why? Because it doesn't fit their idea. It doesn't fit what they like or what they think it should be. When you take and make God into something that from your own imagination, you pray and ask God to answer a prayer about a certain, then you frame in your mind just how he's going to do that. You've made him an image. There's a lot of idol worshipers, and they don't know it. But they deny that Jesus is come in the flesh. They're not denying that Jesus himself came 2,000 years ago and walked on the earth. They're not denying that. But they're denying he is in the flesh today. If they'd have been back there at that time, they'd have been denying that was God, that was the Father in Jesus. But now, see, that's not direct ministry to them. So now it comes down to where the word is coming out of an individual speaking to them, and it doesn't sit well. Well, I don't believe that. Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Also says that the hair is given to the woman for a covering. Well, I don't know about that. It says for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to the man is an abomination in the eyes of God. Well, I don't know about that. You're denying that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh and standing right here before you this morning in the pulpit telling you the truth, the way, the life. That spirit is not of God, and that is that spirit of the Antichrist. So it doesn't just say that it's not of God, but it says that it's of the Antichrist. So John's not leaving it just, well, it's a spirit, you know, it's not of God, but it's all right. No, he said it's the Antichrist spirit. Anything that says that Jesus Christ is not coming to flesh is an Antichrist spirit. That's pretty simple. Where have you heard that it shall come? Even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So the he that's in you is Jesus Christ in the flesh. The he that's in the world is the Antichrist spirit. So greater is he, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost in you, is greater than the spirit that's in the world. Many people, especially around December time, they start thinking of Christ, the baby, in a manger. And they worship this image of Christ as a baby in the manger in their minds. But he's not in the manger anymore. He was in the manger. He's come all down through the ages. And at one time, one age, yes, he did come in a manger. But he's no longer in the manger. Now he's in your heart. What is that? That's the hope of glory. That he's in our hearts this morning by the Holy Ghost. That's the hope of glory. The deity of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham says, oh, Christ, the hope of glory in you, not in the cradle, in you. That was one time God, back at the beginning, he come into Moses, he come into the children of Israel, he come in the cradle. But now they're worshiping him back way like some prehistoric something. What does he mean, they're worshiping like some prehistoric something? It is not okay just to worship him as a man who came on the earth and preached for 3.5 years. That's not enough. That's not enough. He said they're worshiping him back like some prehistoric something. When Christ is in you, here he is today, the Son of God. He came in the cradle. But he's in the heart now. He's the deity of God. He's God's creator. He was in the world, and the world made by him, and the world knew him not. And today that's what's the matter with the churches. The hope of glory, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, has come into the people's hearts, and they don't recognize it. The churches don't recognize it. They think it's some little church joining or something like that. Join church. Put your name on a book. Well, if I've joined the church, I'm a member of the church, that means I'm going. You're going wherever you live like you're going. Hope of glory. I want you to catch that this morning. The hope of glory is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you. Christ in you. We look and we say, Christ is the hope of glory. That's not what the scripture said. The scripture said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All heaven is counting on you. Brother Branham says, God brought him down to every one of us, his living being living in us. Oh, the great creator, the thing that created the world and created the heavens, created the earth, created a man, is right in every individual that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. That's the thing. That's the secret. That's the secret. And he's the Holy Ghost. He's in you. He's the hope of glory. That's the secret. Is Christ in you? Jesus said in the scripture, no man can say that, it says in the Bible, no man can say that Jesus is a Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Can any man say Jesus is a Christ? Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're only guessing at it, Brother Branham says. You're saying that what the Word said. You're saying what the pastor says. You're saying what Mother said. When the Holy Spirit comes in and baptizes you in the person of Christ Jesus, then you know by personal experience that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Raised from the dead, living in you, the hope of glory. He's alive this morning. The Bible tells us, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he will quicken these mortal bodies. What? That they'll take on immortality. They'll be changed, as the Bible said, in the twinkling of an eye. Why? Because Christ is in you. What's the hope of receiving a body change this morning? Christ in you. What's the hope of the resurrection? Christ in you. One day, the Bible tells us that it was after the disciples had been in the upper room. You remember when they were in the upper room and he said, tarry there until you're endued with power from on high. They came out of there, and Peter and John, the Bible says, passed through the gate that's called Beautiful, and there was a crippled man there, and they looked at him, and Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have give I you. What was it that Peter had to give? What did he possess that he could give? Christ in him, the hope of glory. And Christ in him could believe that the man could be healed by the power of God. And the man got up and walked. God's still doing that today. God, some people say, where's the miracles? There are miracles happening in our midst today. Greatest miracle is someone coming and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. But we've watched time after time after each one of us has been through some kind of sickness, whether it was physical or mental or whatever, and we've watched God raise you up. And you know it wasn't yourself. You know it wasn't some man. You know it had to be Jesus Christ himself that raised you up. Christ in you. Satan may try to destroy this body, but he can only go so far as God will allow him. But even if he destroyed this body, he cannot destroy you. Why? Because Christ is in you. That's the hope. That's the only hope. Brother Branham says about Peter and John when they came down to the gate called Beautiful. He said, they noticed they had been with Jesus. See, there was a token there displaying. Such as I have seen a poor fallen brother laying there, crippled, disfigured, everything. And the same life that was in Christ was in them. Such as I have. That's what they possessed. That's what they had. That's what they got when they were in the upper room waiting. That was the power they were endued with. In my name they shall cast out devils. Not I will, you will. If you say to this mountain, not if I say, if you say to this mountain. Now the Holy Ghost is our token from God. The Holy Ghost, the life of the resurrected Christ, has got to be displayed in the church amongst the people, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not pointing at Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago to say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're pointing at him right now, present tense. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed back there, he can heal today. If they could receive the Holy Ghost back then it still can be received today. Because Peter said it was to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Were you called? Then you can receive it. Hallelujah. And you know, when somebody takes a picture of something, well, nowadays it's a little different because we got all these phones with cameras on them and everything's digital, and you know, you snap the picture and instantly you got this digital picture there. But it used to be, now I know you, most of you adults, you all remember, it used to be you'd have film in a camera and you take a picture and you couldn't see that picture until that film got sent in and developed. And then they would develop that film and you'd get back pictures and see what you took. Many times you look through a little eyepiece and you just see like that, you know, and then you take the picture. Sometimes you don't know exactly what you're going to get till you get it back. It's the way it was. And what they would do is they'd put it in a dark room. You heard of that? They put it in a dark room and then they take that film and they put it into certain chemicals. It goes through a chemical bath. And then they can develop, it's called a negative, until they develop it. What you're seeing today around you is the negative. We haven't been developed yet. The picture that God took of us at the beginning, before you came here on earth, that picture is developed by one way. It has to go through a darkness. And that darkness is death. And that death isn't only a natural death, but there is a death, a spiritual death, a dying out to self. Will develop that picture, which is Christ in you. When Jesus Christ came and walked on the earth, that, just him being there doing that, that wasn't his entire plan. His plan didn't stop there. The rest of his plan was to be in you. I in you and you in me and I in the Father one. Develop the picture of the image of Christ, the life of Christ in you. Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, God humbles himself. Listen to this now. God is humility. The man that can humble himself is on his road up. The man that exalts himself is on the road down. So we remember that Christianity is not pushing ahead and trying to get ahead of the other fella, but stepping back and taking the back seat, you see, letting the other fella go. That's Christianity. Humble yourself. He was our example in every way that we should be. And if that life can reflect in us, people will see Christ in you when they see that. What? The humility. You know, humility and pride can't walk hand in hand. How can two walk together except they agree? Them two don't agree. We're in this old tabernacle. And you young ones, you know, you don't feel it. You know, when I was young, I'd go out and play ball or something and fall and get a bruise or something. But in a day or so, I was good to go. I maybe even, you know, could get up right then and still be good to go. A few years ago, I went and played softball. And I couldn't hardly walk for a week. I used to go out, my wife's brothers, you know, I was young when I met Mina, and her brothers were all just young boys, and I used to go out and play football with them, the neighborhood kids. You know, sometimes we'd have big football games, all these neighborhood kids coming in, you know, we lived in the city. And, you know, I could go out there and I could keep up with them and I could play. I was 18 years old and I could play in that, but I couldn't do that today. You say, oh, I could. Then why aren't you in the NFL? Because you're too old. They won't take you. There's some that try to defy odds, but sooner or later it'll catch up. So we're in this old tabernacle, and the older we get, the more it squeaks and groans and the pain. I hurt my knee a couple of months ago, and I had trouble putting a sock on that foot because it hurts my knee so bad when I'm trying to bend my leg. I fell on that knee, and I've been waiting for, been waiting for it to heal up. I don't know what's wrong with it. It only hurts when I move it a certain way, so I try not to move it that way. We're in this old tabernacle, and you know what it is? It's a lump of clay. And one day, there's a song that says it. These bars of bone, this house of clay, but one day the doors are going to burst open on this old lump of clay. Amen. And then we'll come into the image that God intended us to be in. You'll be young again. Hallelujah. But you know what? The only way that God can preach the gospel today, the only way that Jesus Christ can preach the gospel today is through these lumps of clay. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. How do you know that it won't be your life, your testimony, that might affect some other young man that God would raise up and send to preach the gospel to thousands? And it'd be your life that brought that about, your testimony. It would be Christ in you that actually brought that into being. Brother Branham talked about people that prayed for him when he was out on the field. He said they would get credit for the souls that come to God. You believe that? He said the souls that come to God under his ministry, the people who were praying for him, would get credit in heaven for them souls. Others can see Christ in you by your testimony. You know, we ought to think about it, because I'll tell you something, friends. As we say so many times, this flesh, it's our enemy. And that human spirit that we got with those five gates in the spirit realm, why, Satan can get in there and wreak havoc. You can let your emotions get the better of you. I went and had a meeting with some brothers one time. Brother Phil's with me. And I seen someone that let their emotions rule them and get the best of them. And everything they said was out of their emotions. They had no foundation for anything they were saying. It was all out of their emotions. And after we left there, driving home, I told Brother Phil, I said, Brother Phil, if you ever see me speaking out of my emotions like that, something that isn't correct, let me know that I'm doing it, because I don't want to do that. But many times, we will speak from our emotions. How something just strikes us right then at the moment. But what you need to start doing is thinking of, now, wait a minute. It doesn't matter how that hit me or affected me. It don't matter if that hurt me in ear. I need to display Christ. I've never had anybody pluck my beard. I've had grandkids get a hold of it and pull on it real hard. Think they were using it for a handle to climb. That hurts. But they plucked Jesus' beard. And what did he do? The Bible says he reviled not back. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You realize they never asked Jesus for forgiveness. They never asked him for forgiveness, but he forgave them. He's our example. Sometimes we get to say, well, they never asked us to forgive them. That don't mean you're not still supposed to forgive them. You're supposed to forgive them. Friends, look, holding something like that ain't worth missing heaven over. I want to go. I don't want to be held back by anything. I don't want to hold no bitterness toward anybody. I don't want to hold no grudges against anybody. Because any of that will keep me from going. But if Christ is in me, then I won't hold any grudges. If this old flesh tries to hold one, the Christ in me will correct that flesh. Others see Christ in you by your testimony, by your life, the way you live. He is the energy, but you are the show picture. You're the walking Bible. He says that in Fellowship by Redemption. It says here, the only way we see Christ is when he reflected in each other. I see Christ in you. You see him in me. That's how we watch Christ. Listen to this. I come to the meeting. I start preaching and I watch people. And you can see whether they're interested or not. That's absolutely the truth. Somebody's going through a hard time and you're something rather, and they just, because they're going through something, they really don't feel like getting into the service. You can feel that. And it makes it hard to preach. I'm getting to a place where I told my wife the other day, I'm ready to start calling out names and say, get over yourself. Grow up. get in this service so it makes it easier on me to preach. Be like you are today. It's easy today. So you can see whether they're interested or not in just a few minutes. You look over your audience, you can tell whether you're boring them or whether you're not. You can see whether people... One pastor years ago when I was young, I was about 15, and the church that we were going to didn't have any windows in it, and it had paneling. It was all paneling. And he said, some of y'all probably know how many knots is in here. How many knots is in this wood? Sit here while I'm preaching and count the knots. Heard Brother Darrell Ward say, he said, I've preached before while people were shopping at Walmart in their mind. I wonder what I'm going to get. Where are we going to go eat after church? You have plenty of time to discuss that when we dismiss. There's only so many places, so you're limited. Then you know, you got your things you like, things you don't, so that limits you again. There ain't that many to choose from when it gets right down to it, especially if you want to stay here in Dixon. We got enough. We got more than we used to have. Worry about that after church is over. He said, when you see them sitting there hanging on every word, under expectation, then you're seeing Christ reflected in that person. Because they're hungering and thirsting after the word. And you can see it. And I'll tell you what, friends. I know there's some churches where you know, if somebody shouted amen, it would scare half the people to death. Brother Branham said in one meeting, some man said, well, when that woman let out a yell like that, said, a chill ran up my spine. He said, well, you're going to freeze to death in heaven then. Another person complained about how much they was shouting and praising God in the church, and Brother Branham said, this is the quietest place you're ever going to be. He said, because there's a region where they go, the lost go, and there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, then there's where the saved goes, and there's worshiping God around the throne. He said, here on earth, the quietest place you're ever going to be. He said, I watch the audience to see how they're taking it. I'll say something or another and watch what effect it takes on them. See, some, their faces light up full of joy. That's because they're ready to receive something. That's Christ. I see Christ reflecting in that person because the gospel, the simple gospel of Christ, is taking hold in that heart because they're hungering and thirsting. What we need to think about in our lives is how are we reflecting Christ through our lives? The more we die out to flesh, this is the simplest way to put it, the more you die out to yourself, to your flesh, the more you'll be reflecting Christ through you. Children will see it. You can, as a minister, you get around people, get around their kids, you can generally get an idea what their parents think of you by how the kids act toward you. Kids see whatever testimony you're living. And they're truthful little things. They'll say the truth even when you're wishing they hadn't. And they'll usually tell everything they know. I'm just waiting for the time for Michael to get old enough to get up and testify. Look out, David. He'll be up here talking about his daddy, telling everything he knows. He testifies now, he just don't do it in church. Christ in you. He is seen in you by the love you express through your heart. He's seen in you by the compassion that's revealed through your spirit. He's seen in you by the kindness displayed from your actions. We're to be kind-hearted. Have brotherly love. He's seen by the blessings that are received through your life to others. The blessings that others receive through your life. They see Christ. Reminded the story, many of y'all know it. The little boy that was afraid of the thunderstorms. And his mommy went and told him, "You're going to be all right." She said, "Jesus will take care of you." And he said, "I'd like to have Jesus with some flesh on him." Well, he wanted his mommy to stay with him. And that's what we've got today. Jesus walking around in flesh. Christ in you. That's all of heaven is counting on you. That's Bible. They without us are not made perfect. All of glory this morning is counting on you. And the only way that you or I can be that hope is like the Bible says, if Christ is in us. Then that's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for this time that we've had here with you. We thank you for the word that's come forth, Lord. Lord, it came to me in such a simplistic way, and I presented it in how it came to me. Lord, and not trying to make something sound so mysterious to where it would make it look like I had high intellect. Lord, to make it so simple that even children could understand it. Lord, you hide yourself in simplicity and you reveal yourself in the same. And I believe, dear God, you was revealing more of yourself this morning. Pray that you'll bless your people now today, Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.